Hello and welcome back to Over the Pond. We're happy to have you here on episode number 3.
It's been a good time.
We made it.
It's been great.
Dude, you know how many podcasts, and I say this as someone that is fallen victim to this, that like never get to episode 3?
I know, man. Episode 3, it's a special place. You know, there was like whenever I start like a project, I'm like, man, it's nice to start a project, but you just wish there was like a back catalog, a library already. And you know, like episode 10 doesn't sound that long away, but that's like 10 weeks away. That's going to be in like February. Even like episode like 30, that's halfway through next year. So it's like so long to get into that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. I understand it's well-meaning, especially I think with podcasts, because it doesn't seem like it's going to be a lot of work.
Yeah.
And like compared to like a highly edited video that you do, I'm sure it's significantly less, but it's still, you know, there's still, especially when there's more than one
person. I uploaded a 25 minute long video today. That was like, I even got comments being like, really? Only 25 minutes?
Wait, what's it about? I haven't seen it.
It's like, dude, I just woke up and I was like scrolling through TikTok and I saw that there was this like new trend going. It's like a really, it's probably like my most lighthearted video in a long time, but it's basically about this trend that's gone viral on TikTok recently where people are basically just ignoring celebrities. So it's like right now, and the main one being targeted is of course JoJo Siwa. So when you go to her page, she's recently had like an influx of like 30 million views each TikTok. Like that's the like insane level of views, but like each TikTok only has like 20,000 likes, and in comparison to the views, it's ridiculous. And then you go to the comment section and it's just people being like, good job everybody, we're doing well here, and those comments have like 700,000 likes, and they're doing it with like Kim Kardashian, apparently like Beyonce, Taylor Swift and stuff like that. So I kind of just went through all of it, and it is pretty interesting because like I've always thought what like celebrities, even influencers like ourselves, like we're just a dude, you know, like we're just sat in front of a camera, and one day a group collective can just say, we don't want this anymore. Like and they just leave. And then what are we supposed to do? Like, I've always thought like, wouldn't it just be really funny if one day everyone just kind of was like, yeah, I'm done with this. It just left. And the celebrity was like, oh, now I've got nothing.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that's crazy. Cause I mean, that plays on such a genuine fear that I'm sure most content creators or influencers have of like becoming quote unquote irrelevant. I mean, I remember when that word was huge, when like Rice Gum was like all over and stuff, but like, it's a genuine fear, right? Like, you know, when you see your views dip, it can be very stressful. And so, I mean, I guess the views aren't dipping, but just like no one liking. And so that's like, it's funny, but it's also pretty brutal.
I was saying in the video, like, it's really funny, but I think there's almost like a bigger picture. Like, if you're like the target of this, I do think it indicates that you're a pretty disliked figure. Like, no one's going to go and do this to somebody who's that widespread liked. And I feel like JoJo Siwa is somebody that in the last year has, it's strange because I feel like, it's strange because I feel like for a long time she was known for fairly positive things like kids content, the dance mums and stuff like that. Obviously there's a lot of negative stuff when you actually go into it, but this year it is just like drama, like stealing songs. It's like I feel like she's become almost, I got a lot of flack in my comments for suggesting it, but I was like, it feels like she's almost trying to become a lolcal, like trying to become someone who is only known for controversy, because she can't do the kids stuff anymore. She can't walk around with bows in her hair and like, oh, I'm a kids content creator, because I mean, she'd go crazy if she did. So it kind of feels like to stay relevant, she's just doing everything she can. And it now feels like people are just kind of bored of that, because it can be fun for a while. But after like the 50th time, people just kind of get bored.
Yeah. And like, I think she was doing like the bows in her hair until she was like 16, right? Yeah, or like maybe even 17. Yeah. And I think like the crazy shift is what is so surprising, like, right? Like some of the videos where she's dancing and like gyrating quite suggestively. Yeah, it's just like, it feels like I'm watching a child do this when she's not, but it's like her whole persona for so long was like the kid friendly thing, right? Yeah. And so it's like, yeah, it's definitely, I remember when I first saw it, I was like, am I allowed to look at this?
Like, dude, there's like a thing of like when celebrities get a little bit older, like child stars, and they suddenly start doing like, I don't know what the word is, like provocative things, like things of where it's like, I like I saw you on the internet or in a movie or a TV show when you were 14, and now I'm seeing this, it just feels wrong. Like, I see, like obviously Millie Bobby Brown isn't doing that like now, but like just seeing like the Stranger Things actors as like grown adults, is that even that's weird, because you're like, I saw you as a kid and you were massively famous as a child, and now you're an adult. It just, it's so wrong. So to see this happen with JoJo Siwa, but also she's doing all of this, it's just like, it's kind of in my mind, like, it feels messed up. It's not, but it feels it.
Yeah. And it, I mean, it opens, we did not plan on talking about this, but I feel like this is just a very natural thing to talk about. Cause like, I think this is very interesting. I'm saying this as someone that doesn't have any kids. Right. But like, you know, the next step is like family vloggers, right? Where it's like the kids aren't even like, at least kids that are on movies and TV shows, they are aware of what is happening and they are choosing to be part of that. I would hope, for the most part. I'm sure there's outliers, right, where they're kind of forced into it. But with like family vlogs, it is literally like they don't have a choice and they are doing it. It's like it's become the norm for them, especially if their family has been vlogging them since they were like literal babies, right?
I feel
like that opens up this whole conversation, because I always feel really weird of like posting a picture of my niece or my nephew, right? They're really young. I don't do it often and I don't share any intimate moments, right? It'll just be like a selfie with them. But even then I'm like, man, should I share this? Because I really think about it. And then the thought of like people's entire channels existing because they are parents to XYZ kids, right? It's like it gets to be kind of weird, man. And like, I feel like that's like the extreme example of like the child, you know, star kind of thing.
But it's true. And the interesting thing is that you speak about like Hollywood and stuff, and then protect like they're having like more, like the kids know that they're in it more, you know, that it's not like they're forced to be there. They've gone to like acting school as a very young kid, or they were picked out and they actually want to do it. And in acting, it's also a career, whereas yes, being a YouTuber, we have careers, but as a child, the thing there for them is their childhood is being used as monetizable content. And with Hollywood, it's, you've got a career, even as a kid, like you're building to something as when you're older. And yes, there are still issues in Hollywood, but at the end of the day, there is still more protection offered to those children. There is now laws in places like Hollywood to protect children. And obviously they're not exactly doing a great job, but at least there's some, some protection there. Whereas with picking up a camera and recording every movement that your kid does, it's worrying. Because I've always said, whenever I cover like a family channel, I know how the YouTube mind works. We are always in the pursuit of more views to get the number 1 out of 10 in our YouTube analytics and stuff like that. And with us, it's fine because we're not recording someone every single day other than ourselves. But when your content is primarily focused around your child, in your mind, you're going to be thinking, well, what's the next thing I can do to get even more views than the last video? My views are going down. I need to get them back up. They're going to start doing crazier things, because it's something that happens with just any other influencer. Some people start lashing out. They start making more controversial, edgy videos. And with family content creators, where do they go? Do they start making their kids do more ridiculous and dangerous things? Do they start exploiting their children even more? It's like it's like a slippery slope, isn't it? It is worrying to see that genre is getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, and like for me, I have a little bit of experience as far as like the vlogging side, because like when I, because again, I'm a YouTube dinosaur, I've been doing this for a very long time. So when I first kind of started making videos after the first couple of years, that's when Casey Neistat started getting really popular. Daily vlogging was like, that's what everyone did, everyone daily vlogged. So I was like, all right, let me do it. I quickly realized after not very long, wow, my life is incredibly boring. I don't have an exciting enough life to daily vlog. But then I started thinking, how can I make my life more exciting to get more views, right? Or to make the video more interesting. And then I started to realize very quickly that I was living my life for a vlog instead of just living my life. And then I happened to be vlogging. And I was, one, never anywhere near Casey Neistat's level, or like, you know, this was a very short period of time. It was only a few months when I was like, okay, this isn't for me. But I just think, imagine that, and then you're adding children on top of it and using their Oh, they're potty trained as like a freaking thumbnail and title to a video is just like, what, dude? And then they can't consent to it, obviously, right? Yep. And then they grow up, because now we're getting to a point, like, because I think about the Shaytards, right? I used to actually watch them a lot. Shay Carl, I used to really like their videos when I was like, you know, I think I was in high school maybe when I was watching them, or, you know?
Yeah.
And I think like those kids are now in high school or maybe even graduated. It's just like crazy to think that there are so many people that have watched these very intimate moments with you.
Yeah, yeah, for Wild. Sure. And the kids are then going to grow up and they're going to, some may think it's great, you know, some will, mm-hmm. obviously, some may have positive experiences, but imagine being one of those kids in, there's so many situations with family channels, not going to name any, but there are so many that we can all think of instantly of where things have gone terribly wrong. And mm-hmm. those kids' lives of where they've been exploited, it's now going to be on the internet forever. And that's like so messed up, because obviously going through any form of exploitation is bad, but at least it's not recorded and like spread all out for over the internet for like monetary reasons. But in these kids, like, these kids are gonna have to relive that stuff for the rest of their life, because it's on the internet, man. You can't get rid of that, especially when they're on channels with millions and millions of views. I mean, the Ace family are like, they're not the worst of the worst example, but they've done a lot of bad things. And I think you brought it up last week of where the main guy Austin, his kid like falls over in the first, always his dog bit his kid. And the first thing he thought to do was get his camera out and record it. Yeah. And they just like start taking like thumbnail photos or something. And I'm like, this is, it's just like, oh my God. Like, social media is amazing, but it's so bad. It's, that just came out weirdly. So bad at the same time.
Yeah. I was actually, I'm not sure if you remember this, and I'm not sure if I should share this, but whatever. I was friendly. I knew this person, and like we had hung out a couple times with that, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't use the name. I won't use the name, but it was okay. A person that is kind of like a family vlogger. They're like a single mother vlogger.
Would I know who they are?
I think you would know. I'll tell the story.
Do you want to type below who they are if you can't say?
Yeah, I'll type it. But they had a huge controversy. You'll probably know it after I say what it is.
I'm really intrigued though.
But they were the person that were, I probably spelled their name wrong. I definitely did. They were the person that they had like their dog. I think they had something happen to their dog and they were in the car with their child.
Oh
and
my
they
were God.
Like, yeah. Like, oh, cry for the camera. And I was like, it was weird because I knew this person and I had no bad interactions with him, but they were very YouTube minded. Yeah. That's one thing I remember about them quite like drastically. I remember thinking like, I'm not that person. Like I am, like I think about YouTube, but I'm not thinking about it all the time. I'm not like, how can I optimize and to my detriment to an extent, but it's just not how I am. But I remember when I saw that whole thing happen, I was surprised but also not surprised, you know. And it was just like, man, that's the thing. It's honestly like feels like a disease. It can just eat you away to where you just don't think clearly and you're like content and you do this stuff that is just so deplorable. Man, like
It gives me flashbacks to like some former friends I've had over the years, because I'm not like, honestly, I speak to about 3 YouTubers nowadays, and that really includes yourself in that pretty much, because like I've had so many bad experiences and bad friendships throughout my time of making YouTube video. And there was a time where I was very much involved in the YouTube space. I had a lot of friends, and a lot of them, most of them, in fact, were actually great people. But you meet the occasional person where they are so, it's not like they're doing anything illegal, but they're so like driven in making content. That's where the bad stuff comes from. And you think, what's wrong with that? But it leads to so many things. Like, even just like being belittled for not wanting to make content on a specific day. Like, I remember when I was on holiday with a group of people and the person was like, fully belittling me because I just didn't want to vlog that day. I didn't vlog myself, but I didn't want to be in their vlog. I was on holiday. I was like chilling out. I was like, I don't really want to be on your vlog, like filming, like they would like filming like acted out scenes. Like it was like most of the vlog was real, but it was like there was like moments in it which they were blatantly trying to emulate David Dobrik of like, you know.
Okay, that's what I was gonna say. Like
yeah, no, literally that. And I don't think this vlog ever came out, but it was something they were trying to try, but I don't think it went anywhere. But I remember like feeling like this, it's like I know this person and I've seen them get worse over time in terms of their brain being plagued by the algorithm. And it's happened to so many people of where even the most lovely person can be infected by this internet algorithm brain of where they will do anything to get views. And I as much as it, like in the short term can really help for being the best content creator at that point of time, doing the best things for views, I actually think in terms of longevity, it's one of the worst things because it will drive you insane and to points of where you will do bad things or make mistakes in order to get views. And you could lose your audience doing that. And yeah. I think for me and for yourself, I think we have a lot more longevity in the sense of we're not always thinking about it in terms of like every minute of the day. And I think like a lot of content creators, especially if there's any small content creators watching this right now, just needs to know that like, it's okay to just take a break, just relax, just chill. You don't have to be thinking, how can I optimize my SEO? How can I get the best thumbnail face or something like that? You can just chill.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's one of those things where it's, there's definitely too much of a good thing. You know, it's like obviously good to be plugged in to an extent. Cause if you start making videos about refrigerators, people are like, what the fuck?
Dude, if you made a video about refrigerators, I would watch that shit, man. I would watch that.
Top 10 refrigerators. Let's freaking go. But like, you know, if you obviously have to be tuned in to an extent, but it's like when it starts to take over your life and when you start to make real life decisions based on algorithm, that's when I think it's like a problem. I think there's one thing like you making YouTube decisions based on the algorithm, okay, it makes sense, right? Like, oh, this is a good thumbnail. Yeah. But then it's like I'm going to, you know, upend my whole life because this is what the algorithm wants. It can be, yeah, it can just get bad quickly.
I know people have said to me, like, this is like years ago, they were like, you know what, man, even though I'm doing well right now, I'm literally just like, obviously you're doing this for the positive reasons right now, but they were like, I'm going to upend my life, move to America and move across the world to go live in LA just so they can be like possibly around influencers to get in their videos. And like, obviously that makes sense in terms of like, you're going to get in videos, you probably will get a boost from it. But like, to just uproot your life, say goodbye to your family and friends who are your real friends that aren't tied to social media. Like, the idea of that's so crazy to me. And it's like, I think there's like things you can do like that are beneficial to your channels that aren't just going to completely go insane, like down like trajectories of where this is quite obviously going to ruin your life in the long run.
Yeah, man. I remember that, that era of YouTube where it felt like everyone was moving to LA so everyone could be in vlogs. Like, that's what it felt like. Everyone was moving to LA so they can be in some sort of vlog.
What happened to vlogs? Like, you just don't really see them much. Like, people still, it's more like now some like OG YouTuber will have like a dead main channel, but they'll have a second channel where they're still uploading vlogs on. Like, there's like the Syndicate Project. I think even like OG British guys like Zoella, they're still vlogging on a second channel, but they don't do anything else. That's the only form of vlogging I kind of know now. And Casey Neistat, I think, still goes.
Yeah, he posts every once in a while. I think part of it is people started to realize like how much of it just isn't true.
Yeah.
You know, because like that kind of, once you start to realize how much of this is fabricated and just not true, it kind of takes the fun out of it, I think. But I think people just got burnt out by it too. Like, it was, everyone was vlogging, every single person, you know, and it just, I think people just got burnt out with it.
What did you think, like, when you were vlogging? Was it, like, exhausting? Because I can't imagine how it feels to, like, have to wake up and be like, all right, time to record everything. Dude, if I did that, if I vlogged, it would be the most boring shit you've ever seen in your entire life. Like, it would, like, wake up, I don't know, go for a run, maybe, if I'm having a good day, and then have some breakfast and play video games, maybe do some work. And that end of vlog there.
Yeah, and then, yeah. I mean, that's basically exactly how it felt. It felt like I always felt like I had to prove to people that I was working hard enough. you know, especially being a YouTuber. Cause like there's so many people I understand where they're like, bro, you didn't do anything today. And I'm like, no, I did all this. I edited for 4 hours and I went to Starbucks and edited there. And then I definitely had it in my head where I have to prove to people that I am, you know, grinding hard and working, this job is real. and it was just, yeah. And now it's like, now I'll vlog every once in a while, but it's normally like, I'll do like a full day of eating, which used to be very big in the fitness space.
Yeah. Did you do one recently? I swear you did, right?
Yeah, I did one recently. But the whole point, of that video was to tell people, hey, I'm going to be driving across the country and I'm so excited. And we obviously know that's not happening anymore. And so now I'm like, well, now I'm not even going to be doing that. So
if this was 6 years ago, you would have found a way, man. You would have for that vlog.
Yeah, like I'm renting a U-Haul and I'm driving across the country for the vlog, baby. You know, but yeah. So it was definitely like exhausting. But it's one of those things where it's like I'm not going to say that in the video because people are gonna be like, bro, you're filming YouTube videos. Really, it's a hard job. Okay. Let me, you know, the world's smallest violin for you. And so it's like, I'm not going to say that because, you know, it's not as hard as, you know, doing hard labor or like sitting at a freaking desk for 8 hours and dealing with coworkers you can't stand, right? So,
this is the hardest job in the world. We got to tell these people.
I had to make coffee myself before this podcast. These guys, horrible.
They don't understand, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm running out of decaf coffee right now. One more mug, I'm out. What do I do? I've got to go to the store. I've got to go buy that. And none of you guys do that. So, you know. Moving away from all the topics that we just covered. Before we get into the main stuff today, I recently just wanted to talk about it because I've not spoken to anyone about it really. I did like an ancestry thing recently and I've always thought, if I ever did one, it's just going to be so boring. It's going to be like, white. But I am proud to announce that I am actually 1% North African. So,
nice, dude. Yeah. Let's go.
I did it and I was like, oh, I am white. That's definitely one thing. But I'm like an ethnic white. I have eight different nationalities according to this. So basically 40% of it is quite boring, England and Northwestern Europe. So I think that's like including places like Denmark maybe. And then it goes on to 32% Scottish, which is also, I mean, I already knew that. And then it's 15% Spanish and 4% Basque. And I think Basque is like a region in Spain of where I believe it's near Barcelona. I may have a few Basquerians, whatever they go by, in the comment sections.
I'm not saying anything.
Yeah, we're towing a dangerous line right now. And then, interestingly, I'm apparently 3% German, which is...
Nice.
Yeah. And then 2% Irish, and then 1% North African. And I am so desperate to know what country in North Africa am I supposedly from? Because I don't know if you can see that. It's a bit vague. It's like
this general area.
It basically gives me like eight possible countries. It's Niger, Algeria, Libya, Mauritania, Morocco, Tunisia, and then it just says Western Sahara, which to me just could be a case of a Spanish relative of mine just randomly went into Africa and just died in the Sahara. just after having a child, of course. But yeah, I just wanted to speak about it because I've been wanting to do one of those for a while, but now it's done. It's like, what else do I do with my life?
Yeah, I wonder how legit they are. You know, I feel like maybe they just go to people's Instagram profiles and they're like, all right, let's this dude's white for sure. Let's put some African in there.
No, I'm dead serious. They are 100. There's so many like random white dudes like myself who just get 1% North African and they're like, I'm not 100% white. And they're only doing it just to get that Instagram story, I'm convinced.
Yeah. But
what kind of freaked me out is that I have like quite a separated family, shall I say. Like, we're not really close. Yeah. And if you, there's this little section of where it shows possible relatives, and like it actually got like people I know for a fact are relatives that I just don't really speak to. Like it got my half brother. It was like, you could possibly be the half brother of this person. And I don't really speak to my half brother much. Just we've never really been at each other's lives, but I was like, that's pretty insane that it managed to match our DNA. Cause he's obviously done one too. And then it's like, there's like 50 different cousins that could possibly be my cousins. Like there's like second cousins, third cousins. And apparently I have a few in Canada. Boo. But I also have apparently a few in America. Hell yeah, brother.
All right, come on, move on over.
Yeah,
we're
yeah,
ready
yeah.
For you.
I've got a gun now. But no, I don't know if they're actually if they're actually related to me. You can see that like there's some people on there that they've really tried to build their like family tree on that, and I just can't bother to do it. With you. But no, I was very interested to see that I'm apparently German, African, Spanish, from Basque, Irish, Norwegian, Scottish, and I'm a mongrel. Like, you know,
you're
like dogs.
Yeah, you're just a mix of a bunch of stuff. You're like a mutt.
Yeah, that's it. Is mongrel the please say mongrel is the correct term as well. It is a mongrel okay. Dog is the mix of two or more breeds. I was worried that I just said something that's been taught to me and I didn't realize it was bad, but it just means a crossbreed of dog. Okay.
I was a little worried it was maybe a slur. I wasn't sure.
Oh, man.
I was like, please. I don't know about that one.
Please like and subscribe, everybody. All right.
About that. Oh, okay. What?
Have you ever done one? Did you say you've done one?
Yeah. So I was going to say, I've never done one, but I think my brother did. We're fully related. So I don't remember exactly, but we're a lot French, because my last name is Glaude. So my name is John, and
your French.
My brother's name is my brother's name is Jean.
No way.
Yes, and so people will be like, oh, so my last name is Glaude, right? So they're John Glaude Van Damme, and I'm like, brother, you don't understand. My brother's name is Jean Glaude. Okay, and you want to know? I have an uncle. Do you want to know what his name is?
Go on.
Claude Glaude.
Oh my god. You got your family really played into this, man.
Dude, I don't know what is wrong with this. And then growing up, we had a dog named Sean.
You guys have got to stop. You've got to break this, man. If you ever have a child, what are you going to call it? Just Google Juan. Names. Yeah, names rhyming with Sean.
Yeah. Let's get some. I'm gonna name him Juan, you know, it'll be sick.
You could have Savion, Manon, Redron, Fearon.
Macron. There you go. Yeah, that one's from, what is that? Theron, is that from Game of Thrones?
Theon.
Isn't that the name? Theon. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not bad.
But yeah, so that was like, that was the main thing. And then I don't remember exactly. I think maybe there was a little bit of Italian in there.
Oh, wow.
To
be fair, though, with Americans, like, it is like, I know it's like the saying in New York when you like enter, it's like the nation of built on immigrants. But like, it is. Like, you guys like came there, like 300 years ago. So like, I wouldn't be surprised if more Americans have like a bit of a mixed heritage in comparison to a lot of like Europeans and stuff. Like, my friend did one recently. He was proper excited about it. And it's just 100% British. And it's like proper 100% patriot, man.
Is he part of the royal family, maybe, or something?
Maybe, man. Maybe. I was actually quite happy that I'm less than 50% English. So Americans can't bully me anymore.
Yeah. Only you're basically not even English at this point. Honestly.
You should
have your citizenship revoked.
All right. Let's actually get into the juice of the topics today, which is Nikocado Avocado. We both spoke about this on the exact same day. There was no there was no planning behind this. Me and John basically just uploaded the exact same video. If the audience didn't know, Nick recently uploaded a video titled Addressing My Weight Loss, and it's pretty much his brand new podcast featuring Carly Steele. Now, this isn't me just trying to belittle Carly. I think that's her name. I that's getting worse here, but I didn't really know who Carly was. Is she like another content creator in the space, or did you know?
Yeah, I think she's someone that's been doing it for a long time. Yeah. And it was actually funny because she was actually in the comments of my video, and she was saying that she's like, it's crazy because I watch your videos every day and now I'm in the video. And she said, like, LOL. So she seemed to not, I mean, my videos, I try not to be ever super mean to anyone, especially like her. It just felt like she was more of like almost, this sounds mean, and I don't mean it in a mean way, but like a bystander, you know? She was like there, but she wasn't, you know, Nick was the one that was saying the things.
Like me, according to the comments on the last episode.
You guys, I'm not talking for the rest of the episode, okay? but yeah, so I thought that was funny. But yeah, so she's someone that's been making videos for a long time.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, honestly, like, before we even get into, like, the meat and potatoes, what was said, I didn't really think that it was, like, a bad podcast or, like, anything like that. I had a few comments being, like, it's just, like, two school children bickering and, like, bitching about people. But I was like, isn't that, like, every podcast ever? Like, aren't we doing that? Yeah, I didn't, like, take some, like, big offense to Ricardo Avocado starting a podcast, but I definitely think there was a lot of interesting things that they said on there, and in particular the stuff to do with body dysmorphia. That was a big glaring issue for me. Not like, oh, you're so bad you got body dysmorphia, Nikogale, but it's more like there's obviously like a big conversation surrounding these channels of where they gain weight and lose weight, or gain weight again for attention and for like rage bait on the internet. And the big topic of what they were speaking about throughout the whole thing was pretty much Nick has been faking this for so long, and they can't believe everybody was like not was falling for it. And I definitely think for a while a lot of people fell for the Nikocado like rage bait, but I think after like 2022, after Critical and people like that started speaking about it, most people were aware everything that he was doing was absolutely fake. I think people were just more concerned for the fact that what wasn't fake was he was 400 pounds. I mean, he confirms that in this podcast, his heaviest weight was above 400 pounds. And I don't think any amount of rage bait is ever going to like make cover over that. I think that is an incredibly worrying thing. And I get worried that other influencers will see that and try to replicate that, because I mean, he's a millionaire now. He's famous. Mm-hmm. He's successful.
Yeah. That's a really good point, man. Like the people wanting to copy it, that's definitely a very valid fear, because that's, you know, attention on the internet is the currency, right? The more Absolutely. Attention you get, basically the more money you get, right? Unless you're doing stuff that is, you know, incredibly unmonetizable, right? I don't think that's a word, but you know, but like the more attention you get, usually the more money you're making. That's kind of how it works. And yeah. So I think that that's a fair criticism. You know, it's the whole thing with Nick has been interesting, because I've always felt the same thing, and I've said it in videos for a long time, right? Like I always felt weird making videos about Nick, because it was like I feel like I'm making a video about like a WWE wrestler. It's like it's not real, so like it felt weird criticizing specific things, but there are certainly things that I have criticized in the past, because it was not, you know, this character thing. It was like, hey, you know, the DV stuff that they talked about, which I think we'll get into, that was like genuinely something that I felt was worth criticizing, because there's like serious problems there, right?
What did you think about that? Because whenever I've seen Nick and Orlin, I've always just thought, I can't cover this, because even in my big video, I'm just thinking to myself, it is so fake. So is it for you? Because I never really looked. Even when I did my big video, I was like, I just didn't watch the videos, because I was like, it's so obviously fake. But for you, when it comes to the DV stuff, what do you think about all of that?
Yes, I thought it was obviously fake, 100%. Yeah. But the things that were happening mirrored, in my opinion, probably a lot of people's actual experiences. So like one of the things they talk about in this podcast, where like, oh, I don't get why people were mad. They're saying it's DV when, you know, he's just throwing cake at me, or like throwing lettuce at me saying you're fat. And it's like, yeah, that's not like physically going to hurt you. But like there are plenty of people that have been in relationships where the person that they're with consistently makes them feel like crap because of their size, and will do things like they won't let them eat, or they will withhold things right from them because, you know, you need to lose weight, or they'll make comments. And like those things might not seem like a big deal compared to getting punched or something, right? But like when that is happening over and over and over and over again, that's a serious problem, right? And so it's like, the thing that was frustrating to me with a big part of the podcast was like, I think Nick is smart. I've always said this. I think he's a pretty smart individual. I think that shows with what he was able to do. And it's frustrating when he, in my opinion, will intentionally miss the point because he doesn't want to confront the actual issue, right?
Yes.
So the actual issue, in my opinion, is not, oh my God, he threw lettuce at you. Didn't that hurt? No, obviously no one thinks that, right? At least I don't think most people think that. It's, hey, he was throwing lettuce at you saying you're fat, eat lettuce, right? Or something like that. And that's an experience plenty of people have actually had. And that is a form of DV, right?
Yes.
That is a form of belittling your partner and making them feel terrible. And like, I can see someone doing that in the moment. They're in the character. They're joking around. They're not thinking much about it. But the fact that, like, I just feel like it's impossible for him to acknowledge a mistake that he made and be like, you know what? I probably shouldn't have done that. I just don't get why it's so hard to say that.
In fairness, I mean, my video, I did genuinely just brush over the DV stuff. But when you say it like that, you do make a good point there. And I think when I think about it more, there's definitely another aspect of, you can make the argument of, they take the aspects of things like DV, the things I haven't really seen with them maybe hitting each other. Because I've seen a clip or two, but with those clips, you can definitely make the argument that they blatantly exploit things like DV and be like, oh, like they know that it's going to get people talking. And in essence, that's also just as bad because you know that there are people out there that have experienced those sort of things. And I think another big thing that really annoyed me, and it plays into what you just said there about him intentionally missing things, is where they're like, oh, I can't believe like people didn't buy it, or people are stupid, movies have actors. But Nick never, like something I said in my video, Nick never said he was acting. There was never ever, this is an act or anything like that. And for me, in my long video, again, so I have to keep going back to it, but that's just my main Nick Accardo video. Because as you said, covering this stuff, it's almost been pointless over the last few years because it is like a WWE star. So that is the one video I've made, just going over everything and documenting what's fake and what's real and stuff like that. But with Nick, it feels like he is trying to like make the world think now that this was all a television show. Like you're tuning into a new episode every week, but he never said that over the years. Like there was occasional like obvious moments of where things were fake. But for me, I genuinely did believe that Nick and Orlin had relationship issues. And I say this in my recent video, like you don't know what goes on behind the cameras, but I just refuse to believe that like the way they operated their relationship and just in general his life, it can be like a regular normal relationship just with what they're putting on the camera and living in the way that they are, like both of them gaining so much weight for the sake of content and stuff like that. It's unhealthy. It again, it encourages other people to do it. So there are so many worrying factors that I feel like in this podcast it just kind of brushed over as, oh, the audience are idiots, where it's like I think most people aren't idiots. I think a lot of people have just been very concerned over the last few years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I struggle to understand how you can fully like go into like fully just change your entire life for YouTube and stuff.
Yeah.
Apparently like he was able to do it, but that's like seriously, it's impressive, and I'm not saying that in like really a positive way. It's just like, wow. You know, that's, and like, there are people that will say like, oh, well, I think that maybe he started to gain weight and then he decided, I don't know, maybe that's what he gained 50 pounds and was like, I'm just going to fully go into this. I don't know. Because like, you know, I remember when he first started, right? I found out about him very early on, right? Because I am still friends with people that are vegan YouTubers. And like, it was this big thing. I mentioned this in my video, where he left veganism and now he's eating, you know, McDonald's or whatever it was, right? And it was like, you know, and people had quite the issue with that, right? And so, and then in the thing that some of my friends were saying was like, and he's like gained some weight. This was nowhere, you know, maybe 20 pounds. It was nothing compared to, but like when he was like doing the vegan thing, he was very thin, right?
Yeah.
And so it's just been very interesting. Like I wouldn't say that I followed closely. It's not like I definitely have not been someone that's watched every video, but I've known about him for a very, very, very long time. And so it's just, it's so interesting seeing all of this play out and how it's all gone.
Yeah. For me, when it comes to the weight gain thing and if it's deliberate or if it's not, so in his video, he says that he was eating 15 to 20 avocados, which if that was true, though, when he was doing that during veganism, that would be 6,000 calories a day from avocados alone. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I personally think that he gained a bit of weight accidentally, like we all do. I think he just ate a bit too much food. And I think he got a few comments and people started to notice, because this is, again, something I covered in my like historical timeline of where he made some videos 7 years ago in like 2016 and 2017. And it was like, say hello to my guts. I'm gaining weight. I'm getting fat and I don't know why. So it was very clear that from that he was playing into it. But it's like nuance. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's got this massive grandmaster plan to get fat and then not be fat and be skinny. It's like, I think he was gaining weight and he knew that he could monetize that in certain ways, and then it just kind of spiraled and got worse and worse and worse. And the content became more rage bait. It became more, we're crazy and we're wacky, and me and all in and out punching and fighting and kicking and screaming, and the audience love it. And it's like a pantomime, but is it a pantomime? Cause it kind of might be real. They've never said it's not fake. They've never said it's real. They've never said it's fake. They've never said it's not fake. It's like, it's hard to really understand any of it. And again, I just don't know why they kept on harping about this whole acting thing and saying basically the audience is stupid, when again I think it was just people were worried.
Yeah. And like, and then there was like other things that he would do that would bring people into it that maybe weren't part of it. Like the thing I think about is, I remember when he called out Trisha Paytas. Remember that?
Yes, do you remember 2019. That? That's the first video I ever covered of Nick Ricardo Avocado.
Yeah, 2019. And like, that's something, I mean, I'm curious what people in the comment section think, because like, it's something I think about. I remember the general stuff that was going on, but if I remember correctly, it felt like a lot of people were on Nick's side when he first kind of came out about this. And so like, was that part of the show to just bring, again, I know some people don't like Trisha or whatever, but it's like to just drag her down, because like, it's like things like that where it's like, so what was real, what wasn't real? Because that felt pretty real to me. And like, it really did.
Yeah. And this is what I was saying in my video. I said that there are so many instances of where people have gotten mad at Nick, or maybe even become fans of Nick, that were not related to his weight. This whole Nick Ricardo Avocado saga, a massive like, a baseline portion, it's like an iceberg. You've got the top bit, which is like, he is heavy. He gained a lot of weight. But then you've got the rest of the iceberg, which is like Stephanie Sue, the fruitarian drama, like beefing with vegan YouTubers in the early days. There were like multiple YouTubers that he beefed with in 2018. Can't really remember their names. There was the Veronica Wang situation, beef with, I can't remember his name, he's an ASMR YouTuber, beef with Penguin Zero, faking being disabled, as you said, possibly emulating things like DV and stuff like that. It's like, there are so many things of where it's like, was this really in your big grandmaster plan? I think the only plan that he's ever made in terms of a spectacle that he's gone through with is that he was losing weight. That, hold my hands up, pretty funny bit, you know, it'll go down as well done, you got us. Yeah. But also there's all this other stuff, and we can't just now paper it over as, oh, Nick is skinny now, so we're gonna pretend that everything is fine. It's like, I'm not saying that Nick needs to be cancelled, but I definitely think there is this glaring issue of where Nick is almost being exonerated of everything that he's ever done just because he's skinny. And I think that does say a lot. And not to sound like a body positive person on TikTok, but I think it genuinely does say a lot about society that the moment somebody becomes skinny, we immediately just like forget, we haven't, but a lot of people forget everything that he's done, and almost, it's almost like just washed over everything. It's like, I don't get that, because one day ago, before Nick's big grand Two Steps Ahead video, everyone hated him. But now everyone loves him. And it's like, all he did was lose weight. And it's like, great. That's an achievement. Well done. I've done it. Yeah. You've done it. But we're not going to be held to that standard. But Nick, for some reason, is held to that standard. It's very confusing.
Yeah, I think part of it is that people, at least this is how I feel, is like I had almost expected, okay, now we're going to get more information about like how he lost the weight and yes. like the things that he did, because that feels like the natural progression, right? Like, oh, look, this thing that I did. Oh, wow, that's crazy. Everyone was blown away by it. Okay, now we're going to get explanations about it, because it felt like he kind of, like that was what was presented as like, this is what I'm now going to share this information. And then it was like, it's like now it almost feels like he's teasing, right? Because the title of that podcast was like, I think it was like How I Lost Weight or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Something where nothing. There was no information about how he did it at all. Literally zero, right? And it's like, that's what people are curious about. And again, as I've said before, I think Nick is smart. He knows that. He knows that people want to know this stuff. And so the longer he can put it off, the longer he can kind of keep people interested, right? Yeah. I just thought that, you know, I was really hoping there would be at least a little bit more information about the how you lost the weight, which, you know, that's interesting to me. I kind of know how to lose weight. But it was more, what I'm more interested in is how the heck did he keep it a secret? And like, yeah. what did he go through to just no one knew, yeah. at least not, I haven't seen any leak. There were any leaks or anything. So
it is fascinating to me. He's I think we spoke about this last week of like YouTubers being celebrities and stuff, but like he is like a famous dude. Like everyone knows Nick Ricardo Avocado. Most young people know who the guy is. So how did he avoid going out and stuff? Did he just stay indoors 24/7? Did he just stay in his own area? Because when I lost weight, I went through a phase of like everyone was noticing. I was getting comments. I was getting friends saying things to me like, you're looking good, man, stuff like that. It was like happening every single day. And it's not something you can necessarily just like hide and one day you're skinny. It's like, no, that's a progression that happens over time, especially with him, where it seemingly happened over the space of a year or even 2 years. I guess we will not know on that again for a while. I was kind of hoping to learn how long it would be like, how long it took him to lose the weight, because there are a lot of questions that I have, like, was Ozempic involved? Did he just do a calorie deficit thing? Did he do like a crazy diet? Did he fast or something on those lines? Like, there's so many ways that he could have lost weight. And I think it would be a really good thing for him to actually have a conversation about it. Not saying he needs to do it, but
yeah.
as someone that's, he's baiting it out. Like, the video is literally about the truth about my weight loss. Like, he is making multiple videos about it. I feel like at this point probably should just say, but I think also Nick now has the problem of he seemingly, which this podcast is like another example of, is going down this route of, I'm now Nicholas. I'm not really Nick Ricardo Avocado. I'm not the crazy guy anymore. And that's going to be what it is for the future of this channel. And as much as that may be good for like a very small core part of his audience, I think the views are going to go down massively. Like, there's, because he's not doing all these crazy things anymore. He's not fighting with all in. It's not being ridiculous. There's no YouTubers covering it being like, Nick Ricardo's done this, Nick Ricardo's done that. It's just, well, Nick Ricardo's skinny, he's not being crazy, and he's got a podcast. It's like, that's not really what he's known for. And you spoke about earlier about what would happen if you made a video being like, top 10 fridges. I mean, this is like Nick's version of that, man. Like, he's doing his top 10 fridges in, he's just being himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think...
Yeah, I think it's...
And I think with the weight loss thing, that's like his final trump card. He will get a banging video if he goes, maybe he releases a documentary or something where he shows the behind the scenes stuff. I think that's his final play, and it's probably why he's longing it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure he documented the weight loss for sure, right? Because it seems like he kind of has documented everything.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I just think it would be interesting to see. I get where you're coming from. I can understand not wanting to put all your cards on the table, right, at the start. But I hope he does at some point. I hope he does talk about it, because I do think that that's very interesting. And also another thing that I'm curious about is Orlin, right? Because in the podcast, he talks about how they're still together. And I don't think that we've seen him, Orlin, since.
I don't know. There's a part of me that thinks I saw a photo of them together. But let me Google this. Orlin and Nick Ricardo 2024. Then maybe. I swear to God, I saw a video recently. No,
yeah.
I think you might be right. I don't think there actually is one of them now, which That, yeah. Let me just double check before we get into this. All in home Instagram. No. All in YouTube channel. His last video was a month ago, and it was called Mukbang McDonald's, and it's just a video of Nick Ricardo when he was not skinny. So, you are right. I don't think All In has appeared in videos since.
Yeah, so it's just that's interesting, right? What's the reason? Did Orlin also lose weight? Is there, it's just interesting to me. Again, it's just like something that I feel like hasn't, I've seen some comments like, where's Orlin? You know, but it's like, because he does mention him. So it's not like he's not mentioning him at all. Because if that had happened, I would have been like, oh, maybe they're not together anymore. He doesn't want to talk about it. Fair enough. I get that. But like, he is mentioning him, and it's just kind of being like, I don't know. It's just interesting. I just thought that was an interesting kind of thing.
Yeah, I imagine that they're still together, because it would be a bit weird if they broke up from a marriage and he was like joking about them like faking cheating and fooling the world and stuff like that. Which, by the way, I went through all of their cheating drama in my long video, and I'm not 100% convinced all of that was fake, man. Because if it was, they were doing that in 2017, 2016. Like, there was like, they were like sat next to each other crying and stuff. It wasn't like the old videos of where they're fighting and throwing cake at each other. They were like, it seemed pretty raw and pretty, like, they've got to be, I would just say, very good actors if that was all fake. And maybe it was. But again, going back to the podcast, it does just kind of feel like a bit of rewriting of history. But it was something that was said in the sixth minute. They kind of go on a little bit of a bit of dialogue about a certain influencer, which I think you will know about, and that is Freely the Banana Guy.
Dude,
I've only heard of this person once, and this is when someone called her. I saw a video where it was being like, she is the Onision of the vegan community or something.
That's a great explanation. That's really a great explanation. She is just, dude, she's been doing YouTube for even longer than me, right? Yeah. She was dating this dude who goes by the name of Durian Ryder. They were together, and he used to make videos, and he was like one of like the original kind of like, I guess he would make commentary videos, but this was very early YouTube. Durian Ryder was his name. And he would just like sit, he would be like, veganism is the best. And he was a fruitarian where you'd only eat fruit, I'm pretty sure. And he was the one that kind of got her into doing that. They ended up breaking up, right? But she has basically, she continues to make videos, and like, she's one of the only people. And like, this is something that I actually really appreciate about her, that claims that I'm on steroids. And so I really appreciate that claims that about me.
That's going to be a mad compliment.
It makes me feel very good about myself.
She's made videos about you.
Oh, yeah. She'll probably make I wouldn't be surprised if she made a video about this podcast, because she's been mentioned. Like, that's just what she does, is that she makes responses to when she's mentioned, right? And so that's why he says it in the thing. He's like, oh, I don't even want to say who it is, because it's just, that's her whole business model, is making responses to people talking about her now.
Really? Well, I mean, to be fair, I mean, get your money, I guess. But yeah, I'm looking at her channel now. I mean, she does definitely seem, I'd say she's gone off the deep end, but it kind of seems that she's stopped making videos unless she's doing it on another channel. But you can definitely see that she was like at one point just fully going at it, making videos about Abby Sharp. I believe, I remember you doing a video about the Abby Sharp person before, I think. Videos about Nick Ricardo and stuff like that. Yeah, wow. Videos about keto diets and all that good stuff. Well, definitely seems like an interesting individual. And yes. I really do hope they make a video on us, because it would be nice to get our first controversy.
Yeah. She's like a very intense, like, vegan, fruitarian. Like, there's one thing about being a vegan. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's the people that are dogmatic, right? And so that's what she is. She's very dogmatic about the type of vegan that she is. You know what I mean? Like, you have to only eat fruit. And like, one of the funniest things, dude, was that, like, in her response video to me, because I said, like, you know, she's telling people to eat 30 bananas a day, right? She literally had a website called 30 bananas a day. And then in her response to me, she says, I never told people to eat 30 bananas a day. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, that's like me saying, I never said I was obese. What are you talking about? Your name is Obese to Beast. Like, what? So the whole, like, drama with her is that, you know, I think they must have been friends in the past. And yeah. she was like, oh, Nikocado Avocado is a stupid name. And I just think that that's funny coming from her, right? Because she was freely the banana girl. And it's just, yeah.
Yeah, because yeah, Nick says that. So a quote I have here from the fifth minute is Nick says, his name comes from when he was a fruitarian back in the day. He was only eating fruit and he was eating avocados. And avocados are his favorite food. He was eating 15 to 20 a day. It was a problem, but I was enjoying myself. And then Orlin turned to him and said, you're like the Nikocado avocado. And it's, and I put in my video, you know that clip of where it's from like some Marvel movie where he's like, say that again.
Yeah. So that's the lore between that, and I mean that's a deep rabbit hole, my dude, and one that I don't recommend anyone go down. You guys, save yourself. Don't go down that rabbit hole. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I'm telling you right now. It's old, anyways. There is much newer stuff.
I'm like, surprised I haven't seen like a video essay channel like do a big video on her though, because like, she seems like the type of, I don't know if you know who like June the King is or something. He makes big documentaries about like controversial figures like Onision. And I feel like she's the perfect material for that, given everything. Yeah. I don't know anything that she's done, but honestly, I don't know if I'm going to upset a few people here. Being a fruitarian, there's got to be I don't want to go down there, but I don't know any. I've never met a fruitarian that isn't an influencer. I don't know about you.
That's a good way to put it. That isn't an influencer.
Yeah. I haven't, because I just don't. I don't fucking get it. How do you survive eating only fruit? It seems like a hellish lifestyle too. Honestly, if I have like more than like if I have like a banana, I'm okay. I'm good. But if I have like a banana and a bunch of fruit at once, I kind of like get a bit of like a sugar rush and feel a bit gross afterwards. To be fair, I eat shitloads of berries though, because not much sugar. So maybe I am a fruitarian.
Yeah, there was actually a time when I basically was a fruitarian, not on purpose. So this was one of the first times I was trying to lose. Well, not one of the first times, but this was actually one of the last times I was trying to lose weight before I actually lost weight. I had watched it was this movie on Netflix that was really popular about juicing. I think it was called Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead. I think that was the name of it, but it was all about juicing. So like getting fruit and vegetables and putting in a juicer and drinking the juice. So I was like, that sounds like a great idea, but I was very, very poor. So I could not afford a juicer. So I was like, okay, I'm only going to eat fruit and vegetables. That's it. I had a friend do it with me. I lasted a few weeks.
Oh, wow.
Eventually my friend came and he was like, dude, I'm done. Like, I can't do this anymore. And so we decided to go to this place called Hometown Buffet, which is a buffet, and eat so much food. Dude, the amount, I was sweating, brother.
Really?
I was dripping sweat.
What were you eating? What sort of food
in the Hometown Buffet? I don't even remember what I ate. I ate everything that they had there. And I was literally like, I had like napkins and like I was like dabbing myself eating.
It's like a South Park scene, man.
Dude, it was horrible, man. It was this. It's like one of the biggest reasons why whenever I'm trying to help someone lose weight, I try to discourage the more extreme things, because extreme things work. Like, you'll see weight loss.
Yeah.
But they're not.
Your videos back in like 2021, they helped with me not going down like keto paths and stuff like that. Because I did keto for a bit, and it's like, it works in the sense of, people say that you're not hungry. I never had that hunger satisfaction really removed, because I was like a big boy. So I was craving food at any point. What I found it was good for not eating is all the food tastes like shit. So I was like, I don't really want to fucking wake up and eat a load of eggs and then eat pork scratch. To be fair, I love eggs. I eat too many eggs, but a lot of diets limit you so much on what you can eat, where you're actually just not eating because you don't want to eat, because it's like, I can't have 30 bananas freely. I can't do it.
Dude, That's a big part of a lot. I mean, we are getting so off topic, man, but like a big part of why a lot of the very super restrictive diets work is because you're cutting out so many potential things to eat. So yeah, you're going to lose weight if you don't allow yourself to have carbs at all. Dude. Like, yeah, you know, you're going to lose weight because so many foods are carbs. It's
Dude, there's this athlete, plays for a football team I support, and he came out recently saying he doesn't eat carbs. And this guy, he's like an engine. He runs so much. Like, he's like the physically fittest person you'll ever see. And I'm like, you're lying. There is no way that you're doing that without even a little bit of carbs. Because like, I Dude, I don't know if you've ever tried to work out not on carbs, because I don't know if you've ever not if you've ever done the no carb thing, but like it is awful. Like it is. I don't know. Eventually, your body adjusts, but even when that happened to me, still felt not as good. Like it was it always felt that I was like dialed back almost. Like I was like something was restricting me from going an extra mile, doing or lifting an extra weight or something like that. And look, there will be people listening that are doing keto, and I don't actually have that much of a problem with it. Just for me, it isn't for me really. But let's go back to Nick Accardo. let's get into the next bit of where at 10:35 into the podcast, Nick says something which was played off as a joke, but again, I think is a worrying thing that he said. Of he was basically joking that every time he saw his co-host, he would get fatter and fatter and fatter, and he was even making jokes that basically his heart, he was shocked that his heart hadn't given way. He was shocked that he was still alive, and that comes into the whole thing of, was that part of the plan? Was it part of the plan that you were shocked that you're still on this planet, that your heart hasn't gone? And again, it comes into like the copycat stuff of like, this is what it leads to. If you're thinking about trying to be the new Nick Accardo, it's like you are quite literally risking your own life.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like, it's crazy because like the size that he was too, he was very large, you know? And like, I think it's another thing that isn't mentioned is like the other things that you deal with when you're that size, right? And lose the weight, which is loose skin. Hasn't been really talked about at all. And I think that that's like another very interesting thing, because like that's a huge, like having loose skin is something that I will deal with for the rest of my life unless I get surgery, right? That's just how it works. And so it's like to choose to do that to your body. Like if I could go back in time, like, yes, I'm very happy and I, you know, I've been able to handle my skin and it doesn't define who I am. But if I could choose to not have it, like, yeah, like I would do that, you know? But again, people are like, well, just get the surgery. Okay. It's not that simple. Okay. It's not that simple. But like, if I could just, you know, choose to never have had the weight problem and not have loose skin, yeah, of course I would do that. So again, that's another thing that I think is interesting that hasn't been mentioned at all.
Yeah, I'm not 100% if he has it or doesn't have it, because it's interesting because you can't actually see any, but people are good at, you know, some people you just don't think have loose skin and then they do. Now, I don't have too much loose skin. I'm quite lucky in that sense, but I'm also quite tall, and for the weight I was, it was proportioned quite well throughout my body. Like if I was sat down, you could definitely tell that I was a big guy, and to be fair, like at my biggest you could see that I'm obviously a big guy, but it was like quite spread around my body. Like it was, I didn't really have a gut, which was quite interesting. It was just more like my face was very fat, and I had very fat legs, and I think most of my loose skin is actually on my legs, which is actually a, you know, that's the probably one of the better places to have it, because it's not as visible. If I mean, I don't give a shit about loose skin, like for me personally, but if you're worried about that sort of thing, I guess it's the ideal place to have it. But with Nick, it's weird because like you can see him with like loose t-shirts and it doesn't actually seem like he has any. And again, we don't know what he's done. Maybe he lost all the weight and had surgery, because he could have done that for all we know. But I guess we'll just not know until he says it.
I definitely think he does. Like, this sounds weird, but I've like, you know, analyzed the like TikToks when he's like dancing or whatever. Remember when he first like came out about everything, and it definitely looks like the definitely around his stomach, because that's where he definitely held a lot of weight. Because the way with that loose skin works, for those that might not know, basically the way that it works is where you hold a lot of your fat, that's where the loose skin is. It sounds obvious, but I feel like some people don't really get that. And so like if you have a big, very big gut, which I did, right? And I had really big, like my lower back was big, so I have loose skin there. I had pretty big mammaries, you know, and so I have loose skin there, right? And so it's just a lot of it is very dependent on where you held the weight. And so, I mean, at the end of the day, it's not like he has to show. I get it. Not everyone is super comfortable with it, but it's just like something that's interesting that he would intentionally go through that, because it's definitely something that a lot of people, you know, really, really struggle with, having lost weight is the loose skin. And like, I get messages very frequently of people that are like, man, I lost weight and I almost like wish I didn't. you know, because of how much they struggle with it. And that's a very, valid feeling to feel that way. And so that's another interesting thing. But I think the other interesting thing, like, is that he said, like, I was surprised I was still alive. Like, I just wonder how he felt.
Yeah.
Like, at his largest, because I think he said he's had sleep apnea. I say that he said because I don't know. I never know what to believe with Nick at this point. I think he did. It seems like he did. You know, he would have the marks on his face from the machine.
I think he did.
But,
he did. For sure. I mean, it makes sense, like giving his weight and stuff like that. What part of that again was the plan?
I don't know.
And the constant calling the audience dumb and stuff like that. It's like, I don't think the audience are as dumb as we think they are. And the more I look back on the whole two steps ahead thing, the more it is frustrating. Because I remember, like, there was like a tweet quoting my video, which had like 100,000 likes, being like, ha ha ha, this is all wrong. Like, Nick Accardo's proven wrong. And I'm like, is it? Like, really? Yeah. Like, he lost weight. Great. But there are so many things there which just can't be a big master plan. Because, I mean, unless he's like actually insane, that is also another like possibility, which I've seen a lot of people say that there's like certain things. Like, people have described him as like a sociopath and stuff. I'm not going to go down that route, but I've seen people say that just because of like the extent he went to. If it truly was all a plan, you can't be a normal, sane individual. And it goes into what we were speaking about earlier at the beginning of this podcast with what will people truly do for content and what will the algorithm plague your mind into thinking, that's where I need to go. That's what I need to do. Maybe I do need to gain 400 pounds and shove fucking food all over my face.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully people don't go down that road. The other thing, like, you have it here in the notes. One of the thing that really bothered me the most and like put the worst taste in my mouth with the whole podcast was just like almost making fun of the people that were genuinely concerned and like were kind of really believing it, because like it felt like the whole reason this worked was because it was intentionally ambiguous as to what was real and what wasn't. And so then to make fun of like the people that felt like it was real, it just felt a little rude and just a little like unnecessary. And
it does come down, the DV thing that you mentioned, because beforehand my mind was, I think it's pretty ridiculous, but the more you've spoken about it, the more I actually think, you know what, there are some genuine points that you've made there about things like that. And I think even if someone thinks that maybe they disagree with you or they disagree with me, he has deliberately worried people and made people concerned that him and his partner are in a very terrible relationship. He has deliberately worried the world with something that is definite, that he was going through heart issues, health issues, so many things for the sake of content. And to then get on camera and be like, you're all stupid and gullible. It's like that's a bit messed up. And I think it kind of shows that like losing the weight hasn't necessarily made him any less immature than he was before. And I know that's a bit personal, but I think it's just a bit of a weird thing to say. And at the 18-minute mark, I've got it written down here. Nick's co-host says, I think people love YouTube because they think it's real. People think what they're watching is real, like reality shows. That's why reality shows are so popular, because you feel like you know the people, but with an actor and an actress, you know that they're acting. The co-host then says, people forget this is entertainment. It's legit entertainment. And they basically go on the spiel that I mentioned earlier of, you wouldn't come out of a movie theater complaining that there are actors acting on the screen. Nick references Pirates of the Caribbean saying, you wouldn't be mad at pirates or something like that. And it's like, but you're not an actor. You're a YouTube content creator who did eventually develop into this pantomime thing. But at the end of the day, there were genuine, real, valid concerns that I don't think it's fair to mock people for just honestly caring for you about.
Yeah, I think part of it is just they... And I think Nick in particular, I think it's a defense mechanism because it just feels like he, from what I've seen in every video where he's talking about criticisms and like issues that people have, they will bring up the most ridiculous, over the top thing that maybe one person has brought up and not address the overall concerns that people had. And so it's like, you know, with the DV stuff, it was like, it was using, it was almost like a straw man, right? Using this thing that not that many people were really saying to be like, see, I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, who would actually have a problem with it? It was like, no, that's not what people had a problem with. They weren't saying, again, I already said this, right? They weren't saying that you throwing, Orland throwing lettuce at you is such a big deal. It's the fact that other people have dealt with it and you're mocking that. Yeah. And so I think that it's a defense mechanism to not address this serious concerns, because I don't think he really wants to, you know?
Yeah. But this plays into, again, things that he was in drama in previously. I've gone through pretty much every single response video that he's ever made about any piece of drama. And the thing that he did in the Trisha Paytas situation that you referenced previously, in the Stephanie Hsu situation, the Veronica Wang situation, every single time that he was in drama, he always made a straw man argument out of something. He always used one thing as a way to like paper over the cracks, to make people convinced that he isn't the bad guy in the situation. And it's something that I've noticed he's very good at. And this whole video reminds me of a lot of those situations of where he's responding to drama. And again, it does just show not everything was a massive act, a big pantomime, because he's, because like occasionally Nick on the Nick Accardo Avocado channel over the last 5 years would be a bit serious. We could find videos so quickly of where he realizes shit's getting real and he needs to be serious. So it's like, then to come onto your channel and mock everybody for it, it's like, well, you have been serious yourself and you've never again specified this is all satire. You're getting in real drama with real people. You're upsetting people. You're getting exposed by a lot of people. It's like, this is real stuff. And as much as you want to pretend it's this big show now, we all know that it wasn't.
Yeah. And so I'm curious, like, where he goes from here. You know, I've mentioned this in my videos, like, what's the next step? Because obviously his, like we've already said, the videos aren't doing as well, which, you know, it's that's not what it's all about and stuff like that. But obviously, like, you know, going from those mountaintops to seeing things drop, I'm just curious, was this part of the plan too? Did you know that the videos weren't going to do as well? Do you have a plan to go from the, I don't know. Yep. You know, what's where do we go from here? That's what I'm really interested in. Is it going to be the, it almost feels like the Amberlynn Reed approach to consistently like clickbait the how I lost weight or I've lost weight or, you know, like, is that maybe what we're going to go down?
Maybe he can collab with Amberlynn. Maybe he can alpha fight a cat.
I don't know about that one, man.
I said this in my video too. I was very interested towards the ending of where does this go? Because there's only so many times you can really bait the world into caring about your weight loss, you know? Like, you can, because eventually, like, you will have a core people that care about it, but, like, less and less people are going to be fascinated by it, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, if I made a post about my weight loss, I'm sure I would get a lot of nice comments, but it's not going to be as popular as it was when I first lost weight, because that's just how any trend works and any popular thing works.
Yeah, I mean, it's people are like, I miss when you made videos about losing weight. Like, they say that in my comments, right?
Oh, really?
And I'm just like, brother, I said everything, man. There's ain't nothing else to say about how I lost weight. So that's why I talk about other stuff. I don't know what to tell you. Like, it becomes boring, as sad as that might sound. But, like, it just is. It, like, once you've shared all the information, that's the thing with weight loss, is that the once you share the information, you understand how it works, it never changes. It never changes.
And I so, think like... Sorry, Karen. Yeah.
Well, I was just, I mean, it never changes. So there's only so much content you can make about it. And this is kind of getting into a whole nother thing, but it's like with people that lose weight on YouTube, they eventually hit a block where it's like, okay, now what do I do? And it's very hard. It's very hard to shift, you know, but that's a whole nother thing.
But that's why I think people like Nick and people like Amberlynn have taken, like, obviously Amberlynn hasn't done it, but like, Nick took so long to... Sorry, that wasn't even meant to be mean. That was not meant to be mean, but...
She lost 89 pounds once, brother. All right, calm down.
I'm not even going to clap back.
I think her most recent video was titled, I Gained Weight.
Fuck, no, it wasn't. Oh, my God. I think it was. Let me check. I can't find it. When I type Amberlynn Reed, it comes up with your channel. Oh my God, it is. 6 hours ago, I've gained weight. Great for a thumbnail. Jesus. Yeah. How many dislikes has that got immediately? 1,700 dislikes to 400 likes. Mm. Oh my God.
Killing it, dude.
She's promoting the cameo in the description, though, so I hope she gets some money.
But we should order one for the start of the podcast.
We actually should. She could be our third co-host. Can you imagine? Dude, I'm getting you an Anne Boleyn Reid cameo for Christmas. That's an elite present.
I can't wait. I'll use it in every video. Every video.
Do you reckon if I asked her to be like, "Hi guys, I'm John's co-host," or something on those lines, do you reckon she actually would?
I don't know if maybe you say John, she might, but if you just say co-host, she might just say co-host. It's your co-host, Anne Boleyn Reid.
That would be really funny. Wait, let me see how much it costs.
It's $300, bro. No, that'd be crazy.
It costs $5 to send her a message. Anne Boleyn, that's steep. She isn't available right now. Why is it in the bio then? That's
she's sad. Too busy, man. She's too busy looking for the cat.
Maybe that's what Nick and Anne Boleyn can move into in terms of content, documenting finding the cat. Yeah. But in terms of gaining weight, there is a part of me that thinks he might gain weight back. Because obviously, there's something he speaks about in this, where he speaks about body dysmorphia. It's like something that, like, he... God, we've gone straight back to being serious. But no, he says in it that he's dealing with an issue of where he gets comments criticizing him, saying he doesn't look any better, he looks worse now. And he's also looking in the mirror and thinking that he's still fat, pretty much. Mm. And obviously, that is one of the biggest symptoms of losing a large amount of weight. I've never dealt with it. I don't know about yourself, but I know it's a very, very real thing that a lot of people have dealt with. And I think it was the one moment of the podcast which I actually did appreciate that he spoke about that, because it is a very personal thing that I know a lot of people naturally don't want to speak about. But I also think, sorry to keep on harping on it, but it does play into the whole thing of, like, I think he's being a bit irresponsible by making it sound like this amazing grand plan that made him a millionaire and stuff like that, because there is, we've seen with Anne Boleyn, there's content creators that play on this stuff. I mean, literally her last video, "I've gained weight." It's a thing that I'm worried will become more of a trend of, well, it's already a thing if you have multiple content creators that play on the fact that they're gaining weight, but I'm worried that it's going to continue over time, and it definitely will. And it's like, even if you lose that weight, because that's the belief, isn't it? Oh, I'll gain weight, I'll make money, I'll lose it, I'll be fine. But it can lead to long-lasting effects that aren't physical. There is real mental effects. And I don't know about yourself, but even now I still deal with, like, some degree of mental things of, I'll have something to eat and occasionally I'll be like, I shouldn't be eating this. This is too many calories or something like that. And I don't have it that bad, but it can be a real problem, and it can develop real stressful related issues sometimes. But in Nick's case, it seems that it's in a far bigger issue. And again, so it's kind of a mixed bag. I appreciate that he spoke about it, but I didn't appreciate how much they're downplaying everything in context to that.
Yeah, I think, like, with the body dysmorphia, that's a super common thing that happens with people that have lost a lot of weight. And I think it affects people. This is just, you know, pure speculation, but I think it affects people a lot more that have been overweight for a extended period of time.
Yes.
Right? Like, so if you've been overweight your whole life and then you lose weight, it's really hard to see yourself as someone that's lost weight.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's a big part of it. And for me personally, it definitely was something I struggled with, but it's definitely gone away over time. Like, I don't look in a mirror and see myself as fat anymore at all. Like, I just don't. Yeah. But I definitely struggle with like the opposite body dysmorphia, where I think I am smaller than I am. Like I'll talk to my girlfriend and I'm like, do you think, like, it's half joking, but also, like, not. I'm like, you actually think I'm, like, buff? And she's like, dude, you're literally the buffest person in the gym right now. And I'm like, no. She's like, John, I don't know what to tell you. Like, you are. And I'm just like, I don't know. I feel like you're lying to me. You know, like, and it's definitely something that I just don't see myself that way at all. And so I think that's just something that's very common with people that put on a lot of muscle. That's, like,
a very common thing. It is, though. Like, and there's, like, two sides. You could say it's a competitive side, but there is, like, a possible real mental issue that I think a lot of gym bros go through, of where it can lead to, you know, like, steroid use and stuff that. Constantly pursuing that. Got to get those gains, brother. You know, like, constantly getting it. And I think on TikTok it's a big problem as well. Like the constant of like there's a big community on TikTok which are like very it's like they're self-punishing in the terms of like I don't know what your thoughts are on like David Goggins. I actually kind of like the guy. I think he's done some cool stuff, but I think there's some people that take his message and like they run with it, and it puts them in some real dangerous places. Where I think with like fitness influencers, you've got to kind of like take like a little bit, and then kind of like take bits which work with you and like put it towards yourself. But don't take, no one's going to be David Goggins or anything on those lines. You can't. That's like a freak of nature.
Dude, I like David. I've read, I think, both of the books.
I've read both too. You done the audiobooks?
Yeah, no, I didn't do the audiobooks, but I've heard they're very, very good. Like, because they're like mini podcasts, right?
Yeah. Really good listens, man. Really good.
But I definitely have a problem with, I think he's slightly not truthful about his weight loss, because he's like, I don't have any loose skin. And I'm like, okay, so either you didn't lose as much weight as you say, or you have some loose skin. And like that might be a hot take to people, but I think that's like that's part of it. Just frustrates me because again, it's giving people false expectations. Because I get comments of people like, if you did what David Goggins did, you wouldn't have blue skin. And I'm like, bro,
yeah, because his argument, he speaks about in his book, isn't it, that he lost, so he didn't get loose skin because he did. I think it was something like he word for word said that he did like 1,000 bench presses a day, brother, or something like that.
I'm like, okay. I am more muscular than David Goggins, okay? Right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that I'm not more fit than he is, but I'm more muscular than him. Yeah. I still have loose skin.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just frustrating. That's a frustrating thing because, again, it's giving people false expectations. That's stuff that I really dislike. I think there is a lot of really positive stuff. There's probably a lot of people who have no idea who we're talking about right now, and I feel like it's a whole rabbit hole, but, like, he definitely, I think, I really like some of his messaging, but I think the thing that frustrates me the most, and it's like what we've been talking about this whole time, is false expectations. And that's something that really bothers me. I think that he's helped a lot of people in that have been in very, you know, bad situations, and that's good. But I feel like a lot of people have definitely some false expectations. And it's the same thing with just influencers in general and like the fitness space in general on especially TikTok now, is it's these false expectations, or, you know, with how big like steroids are and, you know, supplements are on the internet. It's like so many people almost feel like they have to go down that route or they'll never look buff.
There's this guy that I know, and he was like quite a big dude. And then he lost all the weight, and he was the skinniest guy ever. And now he's like inflated. And I not in terms of fat, like muscle, but like it is such obvious usage of like things like training and stuff like that. But it's like, it just denies it. And it's like, it's very obvious because you can, there's like actual characteristics of usage of those things, right? Like you can see it. It's obvious. And there's certain things that no one can get to in the space of a year. Like I remember when Mr. Beast posted his gym progress and everyone was like, you've barely been going to the gym. And it's like, no, that's just real progress. Like just flat out. And he's got probably the best physios possible, the best PT possible, stuff like that. So like, I think, again, it's the unrealistic expectations thing here. And honestly, going back to Nick, I think that was why, like, I'm not saying he needs to, but it would be cool to see how he actually lost the weight. But one last thing on David Goggins. I think he is a very interesting man. For me, I was actually more interested in his personal life stories of how he got out of terrible neighborhoods and stuff like that.
Yeah.
His experience with like racism and stuff. I think insane levels of like fascination into his story, his ultra marathons and stuff like that. Fuck ever trying to do that. I remember listening to, like, occasionally I'll get open my like TikTok for you page and it'd be like, who's gonna carry the boats and the logs? And I'm like, me, I guess. And I go for a run. But he's like a superhuman, and he does have like actual records to prove these things are like in terms of his running. Not, I don't know about his weight loss, but his running is absolutely very legit. So I very much admire that. But if you're somebody listening right now and you're a big fan of David, just temper the expectations. Even with Nick, like with the whole thing of, if you think you're going to come onto YouTube and be the next Nick Ocado Avocado, you're not. Nick wasn't just known for being a big guy. He is a very entertaining guy. Yeah, like he knows how to get attention. Not everyone can do that. I can't do that. Maybe you can, but I can't.
No, I can't. Not at all.
Yeah.
I think for me, something that's really important to me is just people to have the right expectations, because I feel like a lot of times when you have unrealistic expectations, you end up failing when you shouldn't be. Like you end up comparing yourself to this thing that doesn't exist. It's like a horse seeing a unicorn in a movie and being like, well, why can't I grow a horn? It's like, brother, because they don't exist. If you believe in unicorns, I'm sorry. You know, I don't mean to burst your bubble, but it's like,
cancel John.
It's
cancel
just, John. I know. But it's like, that's something that frustrates me, because I was able to seriously change my life for the better. And I didn't have to do anything that required me to, you know, completely like almost like ruin my life, right? It's like something that David Goggins, it's almost like the stuff that people would like, for most people living a normal life to do what he did, they would have to basically like ruin their life to see, to be able to do that, right? I just don't think that it's necessary. And it's the same thing with Nick and all of that stuff. Like those things aren't necessary to still see massive progress. And like those are the things that I get kind of frustrated on, because sadly with social media, the more over the top, one of my favorite words, bombastic, right? More like bombastic you are, the more attention you get. The more attention you get, the more money you get. And so they are rewarded by being more and more over the top. And I always try and be like, hey, remember what you're looking at. Like, this isn't necessary. You don't have to go to this extreme to still see progress. We're kind of getting off topic now with the whole Nick thing, but it's just something that's important to me. You know, like I really try to make sure people understand that, so they can still feel like they can work their 9-to-5 job or still take care of their kids and still make serious progress in their life for the things that they want to do.
So. Yeah, no, absolutely. And to be fair,
I'll get off my soapbox now.
You could open up a Patreon, start doing. maybe you and David could do some big talks. I completely agree with what you're saying. And to be fair, with like going off topic, I think we're kind of floating around the Nick stuff, and we have actually been speaking. I didn't expect us to speak about the Nick stuff for an hour, but we've been speaking about the Nick stuff for I believe over an hour now. Didn't think there was going to be that much to talk about, but it is. Interesting, because a lot of it does tie into a lot of other stuff. I think there is a lot of toxicity involving like diet culture and stuff like that. And by the way, we should just say, like, as much as we've been speaking about Anne Boleyn and Nick, like we're not just here to talk about like diet things and stuff. We're going to be speaking about other stuff. It just so happens Nick came back with this recently. Anne Boleyn's a big interest of ours. I think to kind of like run it all the way back to this podcast to summarize it, what was your like overall thoughts on it?
I thought that it was a very good way to title a video to get people interested. It was frustrating, because it felt like there was just a lot of stuff that wasn't really mentioned that I think that most people are interested in, right? Like everyone wants to know how he lost the weight and all of that stuff. And then the thing that frustrated me the most was just like the dodging of the actual criticisms and just like instead focusing on these things that no one's really saying. That was like the most frustrating thing to me. But I think Nick has always kind of done that. He's very good at that. And so I can't say that I'm surprised. So
yeah, he is a master at what he does. And maybe this is like going to be his new like shtick. He's going to, I don't know, like it's like he still weirdly feels like a bit of a character. I don't really know who Nick is, and it's going to take a while to get used to this. And will he stay in it? Will he go ever do the whole Joker persona again? It would be really weird to see him act how he was acting in older videos in this new skinny way. Like if Nick starts like screaming and crying in this this new setting, I guess that would be a really weird thing to see. But in fairness, he did start crying at the beginning of the podcast.
It was never mentioned why. It was very strange, but hey, whatever.
I think he's a very emotional guy, to be fair. But the final note I have is just Nick's content in terms of views is not doing well, as he's not outrageous anymore, and where would it go? Yeah, we've kind of discussed that. I think, to be fair, I don't know where it's going to go. I don't really think that there's a major audience for Nicholas Perry, like actual Nick. Like, as mean as that sounds, it would be, if I started doing video game reviews, I'm going to lose like 90% of, if not more, of my audience, because originally everyone wasn't here for that. They were here for me to talk about topics on the internet, not mm-hmm. what's Fraser's favorite video game. Yeah. And with Nick, it's like, I don't think most people were there for whatever this is now becoming, which is a shame, but I think it's just the reality of social media.
Yeah, exactly. It's the reality of social media. When you garner a following doing a specific type of content, the majority of creators are going to struggle trying to change up their content, especially if they're going to upload it on the same exact channel. You know, it just doesn't work, right? Maybe you make another channel and it also happens to take off, which happens, right? But usually, if you're going to make a different type of content and put it on your main or the regular channel that you've been uploading on, it just doesn't do well, you know, regardless of who you are. There's outliers, always there are, but majority of the time, especially with someone like Nick, with the kind of content it was very specific.
I mean, imagine like one day you're watching, I don't know, The Walking Dead, if anyone still watches, I don't know if that show's still on, but if you're watching The Walking Dead and the next episode, there's no zombies anymore. It's like, what am I here for? I was here for zombies. With Nick, it's like, I'm here for him screaming and shouting and being ridiculous. And also, there is a big part of his viewer base, I think, were genuinely just either interested or concerned for Nick's well-being and safety, like as a is he still alive? I think that's why a lot of the views are coming, and now it's like, well, yeah, he's alive. I can move on to the next thing. I think we can kind of, you know, wrap that thing up there. We were gonna speak about the world of t-shirts, but that's such a big topic. I don't think we've got enough time to go through all of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is solid. I mean, I think we have other stuff, but I mean, I feel like we can save that for another one, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, if there's anything else you wanted to talk about, I'm absolutely down. I didn't know if you wanted to speak about David Dobrik stuff, unless you wanted to leave that for the next week.
I think that there's stuff that's going to be happening soon that will make it make more sense to talk about that. So I'm fine with waiting on that as well.
Yeah, and in fairness, like I said to you the other day when you mentioned speaking about David Dobrik, I looked if I've ever covered David Dobrik, and I think I've done like two or three videos, but I don't know about you, but do you just sometimes forget that you've made a video? Like, it's just got gone from your mind.
Dude, and I've literally made like, I think, over 1,500 videos.
Yeah, no, like, you have, because I clicked on your channel the other day to, I think to like link it or something to the podcast channel, and I was like, this guy's been around.
I don't want to talk about it. Let me see.
You've done, because I was like, I've done on my channel publicly right now, guess how many videos there are?
500.
There are 417.
Pretty close.
Yeah. And that, when I saw something like that, I saw the figure around that the other week, and I was like, doesn't seem right. I feel like I've done 1,000 videos. Mm-hmm. You've done 1,600 videos. Wow.
So that makes me feel like the meme where the dude's talking and there's just a brick wall. That's what I feel like.
I've just clicked on your very first video, 2014.
No. Don't watch that video.
I won't. I've clicked up. To be fair, we can probably wrap it up there. It's a good length for a podcast, I think. I think we've got everything that we needed to say. I guess maybe just before we go, we can like address like the the reception. There was mentioned it earlier in terms of like there were a few people saying that John was interrupting me, or maybe I was interrupting John. And I do just want to say that in some topics, I'm gonna know more than John, or John's gonna know more than me, and it will lead to like one of us speaking more than the other. It's not like an interrupting thing. I feel like we're pretty like, I'm not having a go at you guys, I'm just saying like that's that's like how it kind of is, like the Amberlynn Reed stuff. Like I know a bit, you know a bit more than me, and that's kind of what it was. And honestly, I feel like maybe I've interrupted more in this one than the last one, so maybe I'll get canceled.
But like in general, like the response has been awesome, and it's been cool. Like I've been blown away. Like, I am so thankful, man. Like, it is so cool how many people have just been super kind, and the comments have been awesome. And so I'm super thankful for that. It's definitely something I'll do. I'll definitely interrupt. Like, I have ADD. It's something, ADHD. It's something that I do. I definitely, I definitely try to work on it. It's not like it's something that I just like, whatever, I just have ADHD. There's nothing I can do about it. No, I try, but you know, there's definitely gonna be times when I interrupt for sure. And I promise it's not out of me being malicious. I get excited, you know, that's just how it is. I get excited. And I'm like, oh, I want to add to the conversation.
Yeah. Especially with things that we're interested in, you know, like, I think with ADHD, if when you're like, is ADD and ADHD different, or is that just two different things?
I guess it's all technically ADHD now. Like, it's all under that umbrella.
But with like the ADHD umbrella, I sometimes like feel bad like complaining when I'm like, oh, like sometimes I'll do something of where I'm like, somebody's telling me a whole ass story, like of their day or something like that, and I will just like zone out, like no reason. It's not malicious, and they'll like be like, are you hearing anything that I'm saying right now? And I'll be like straight out, no. Because I'm like, it's just how it is. And sometimes I feel like people might see it as an excuse, but it is like a genuine thing. Like, there are like cases of we may not be the best listeners, or and we may interrupt. And it's just like, I think we're pretty good at it in comparison to some people that may have ADHD. I think I've personally really worked on it over the years, especially doing more podcasts and stuff like that. So yeah, again, nothing but like mainly lovely, absolutely amazing support. And even to the people that were complaining, that's not like an attack on any of you guys. I just wanted to like basically just address it slightly and just be like, there will be times where we interrupt each other. It's just a pretty natural thing. But overall, like, I'm so blown away by the support. I checked the channel just now before we started recording, and like, it just keeps on increasing and stuff. Like, the last episode's on like 20,000 views, and it's like,
that's crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy because the channel has 3,000 subscribers, which again is awesome, but it's just cool to have a channel that has way more views than subscribers because it hasn't been like that for me for quite a while. So yeah, it's cool.
I mean, same here. It's like, it's not even like a monetary thing. I mean, we've only just got monetized. Or claps in the chat for getting monetized. But it's not like a monetary thing. It's just like nice to see this little project growing. And 20,000 views on a podcast to me is pretty crazy. Like, that's like a lot of people listening for a long time. And like, not listening to like a long video where everything's scripted and structured. It's just us chatting.
Dude, I had someone message my girlfriend, and they were like, is your boyfriend obese a beast? And she was like, yeah. And she was like, I saw him on a podcast. They were talking about this podcast.
That's so
crazy.
And
I was like, that's so funny. That's awesome. I love it.
That's that is so sick. It's stuff like that. It's just like, makes it like so much look like cooler and stuff. But like, again, in general, just thanks to you guys for just being amazing. I think we'll call it a day there, wrap it up.
Yeah, next time I will be in my new place, so I'm excited about that.
That's gonna be cool.
I just wanted to.
Are you excited to do the like set it all up, get a cool
dude
backdrop
going? I am excited about that. I'm excited about, dude, I got this super sick drum set. It's an e-drum set, but I'm like super excited to have that in my, just be able to play that. And like, I'm excited to have an office again and set it all up. I'm definitely excited. It'll probably look a little scuffed for a while, but we'll get there eventually, you know.
Yeah. I feel like that's like the, well, it's like one of the most stressful, but also like the best parts of moving, of like, you can make your own space, you know. And it's, yeah. With the move, I'd say I hope it isn't stressful, but I know for a fact that's going to be fucking the worst.
This past week has been,
Oh yeah.
I was like, I don't want to come on the podcast and just complain. So, you know, we can put it at the tail end of this, but it's just been a lot. It's been a lot, you know, but we're getting there. I just had literally like 10 minutes before this podcast started, I had junk removal people at my house getting rid of all the stuff that I can't bring. And so there's still so much happening. So today when we're recording this, I guess a little bit behind the scenes, this is Tuesday, right? And I move on Sunday. And then the next podcast we record, I will be no longer here. So, yeah.
What I was wondering with all like how you're moving your stuff, are you like just putting it in a load of suitcases, or are you putting it in boxes as it's going like a cargo plane? I don't know how it works.
So majority of it is going to be coming with me on the plane, because basically the only stuff I'm taking is my clothes.
Oh, wow.
And then I'm going to ship my PC monitors, and that's basically it. There's a lot of stuff, all the stuff that you kind of see behind me, I'm leaving for my family to take, because my sister just moved into a place, she has like no furniture, so she'll be taking most of my furniture, and that's that's that. And then everything else that I couldn't take, I basically had junk removal come and just get rid of it. I sold a good amount of stuff as well, but all the stuff that I just didn't feel like selling, I was just like, here. And I'm sure they'll go through it and grab stuff that's worth some money and sell it, which is fine, whatever. But I just needed to get rid of it. So
I had that when I last moved. I had like stuff that I just gave to like these junk people, and they were like, "Yo, can we like sell half of this?" I was like, "Do as you please, my friend. I don't need any of the profits. Take it as long as it's gone." But I feel like, as much as like, it's difficult for me to do now because I have a lot of stuff now. But when I was when I first moved to London, in my mind, I literally said, only moving my camera stuff, my computer and my clothes, complete fresh start. Like, and I remember doing that and it felt really nice because it wouldn't have to deal with all the clutter and everything like that. That's definitely like in terms of moving like that, I think it's very positive. But over time, that becomes more and more difficult. Now I'm in a big flat, and it's there's a lot of rooms in here, have a lot of shit, and it's like, when I next move, which maybe will be late next year, my lease ends in December, which is what a great month to have to possibly move. They might extend, but I don't know if I really want to extend. I love where I live, but I kind of want to live in a house. We'll see, I guess. But I can imagine that will be the worst of the worst, because that's during December, CPM's up, that's prime video making time. But I mean, I don't know why I'm speaking about me moving. this is your move.
But, it's all good. You'll just be me in a year, you know? You're just looking into your future right now.
Yeah, just with existential dread. All right, we'll wrap it up there, everybody. Thank you so much for coming along. We are on Spotify, and I believe we're on Apple Music. Still haven't checked the stats on that, honestly. to the six people over there, if that, thank you very much. We appreciate you and love you. Thanks for coming along, everybody. See you in the next one. Bye-bye.
Peace.